Today our reading is going to come from Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 16. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining, disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain.
Good morning and Merry Christmas. We're glad to have each of you here today as we celebrate our Savior's birth, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who was born a man, but came for the purpose of death on the cross, as that passage in Philippians 2 tells us. But now is the risen Lord, and he's the ascended Lord above all. And if you've been here in our series the last couple of weeks, you know in the morning and afternoon for the last few Sundays, we've been tying together and concluding, we will conclude this Christmas morning, this series on Philippians 2. We're going to start a new series, as I said, next week, or this coming Sunday morning, Ministry in the Mess from 2 Corinthians. Invite you to join us as we look at how God works through our weaknesses in ministry and mission, and even through our trials as we serve the Lord. But you may say today, why this passage in Philippians 2 for Christmas? Why not preach on the Christmas narratives, one of them we read in Matthew or Luke? And those are wonderful, of course. Many things you could preach on. What we've seen, though, in this text, as we've looked at it, Philippians 2, is that it gives us, for one, the perspective of heaven on Christmas, the perspective of eternity on Christmas and why Christ came, the perspective of Jesus Christ himself, who Paul says is God, who is fully divine and who stepped from glory into this world to be born, who at a point in time in the Father's plan, Jesus, who's fully God, came from heaven, stooped down as a servant into the world, into the mess of this world as a man to be born for a purpose. And as we're seeing in this passage, as we read, it's given in the context of practical problems. That the incarnation, the birth of Jesus, and all that it means, all he did, should be impacting our lives today as Christians. Paul's writing from a prison in this letter, Philippians. He's calling these Christians we've seen to know true joy in Christ. And he had said, make my joy full. Fill up my joy earlier in the passage there. We looked at that a few weeks ago. By being like-minded, he says. By getting along. By having the right mindset. Thinking on what you have in Jesus. And ultimately, verse 5, by having the mind of Jesus Christ. The one who stepped from heaven in humility to come in this world and was born to save you. Paul is going to close this section, we'll see, telling them and us how he rejoices in them and how they're growing in this joy, but they need to grow more and they're to rejoice in this. But the question is, where does this deep, true joy, this life, flow from? And the right, and of course true, but easy answer is Jesus. Of course. But remember, Paul has been showing us how we grow to know this true life that's in God, in the one, the King, who humbled himself to be born in this world. How we grow to know that true life as we trust Christ, as we think not of ourselves but others, as we have the mind of Christ, the attitude that is in Jesus that's in us, and we grow in that, the one who came. Paul has told them to stand firm as Christians, chapter 1, that to do that you must stand together. But that only occurs through the growing of our humble mindset that's in Christ, the one who came to save us, who's fully God, who did not grasp at his rights, but gave his life. And that mindset is now living in you. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, it's working in you. And so this one who came, he remained as God, but he took on the form of a servant. He came in the full form of a human being in the likeness of man when God, the Son of God, Jesus, was born and came in this world. The Son of God, Jesus, always existed as God. He's always God. But in the Father's plan, he chose out of love to humble himself, remaining as God, but coming fully as a man when he was born to be a servant. And Paul has shown us in this passage in the series, reviewing a bit, to see the full extent of Jesus' humility. He's told us that flows from who God is, who Jesus the Son of God is in heaven, shown in him taking the form of a servant, being a human, being born, expressed in the full extent of his willingness, we saw last Sunday, to live out the Father's will as a human, though he remained as God, and to trust God as a human all through his life, to the point of going to the cross and dying on the cross. And Jesus revealed the ultimate extent of that humility and that amazing love by his obedience to death, even death on the cross, as Paul told us there. Last Sunday afternoon, we saw that because of that, therefore, Jesus Christ rose up victorious in righteousness over sin and over the grave. He's conquered our ultimate problem. That's why he was born. That's why he came. And because of that, God has exalted him. The Father has exalted Jesus high above all else. Jesus is not more God than before the time he was born. He's always been God. But now as God and man together, he has carried out God's work to perfection as the God-man, as the King. And he is exalted as God's perfect King and Savior, God and man together, conquering all of our worst enemies, sin and death, saving us from sin. He is Jesus, fulfilling all of God's promises. He is Jesus Christ, the Lord. So now Jesus has the name that's above all other names. Jesus' name stands for all he is, all that he does. The name Jesus means Savior because he came and he saved us, those who trust him, from sin. His name is Messiah, Christ, the Anointed One. He has that name as Lord because he fulfilled all of God's promises. He is the Lord because he is God. He is Kyrios. And Paul is saying here, God has exalted him because he is Lord, Jesus Christ, and he's to be worshipped as God. See, if you today trust in Jesus Christ and Lord, then you know you are confessing him with your mouth, with your words now as Lord. And as you live your life, you've bowed your heart and your life to him the first time, and you're continuing to bow your life to him and surrender to him as you look to that time, as you're living a life of worship. And that time, one day, though, Paul says, one day everything in creation is going to acknowledge Jesus as Lord for who he is. Either in this life, and I pray you will, in love and faith, surrender to him, or one day you will in submission, and you will in fear, and you will realize he is who he is. Because God promises one day every knee will bow, every tongue will confess, Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The Son of God, who's fully God, comes in humility. He was born that first Christmas to be obedient in all of his life as a human, obedient even to death on the cross, and God has therefore exalted him above all else. But all that Jesus does, did you notice this? For God, for as he serves for us and in us, all that he came to do as we grow in him, as he works in us, it's all to the glory of God the Father. Did you notice that? For all eternity. We may not think that much this way about Christmas, but this is what Christmas is. But folks, this is what it's really about. The incarnation, the message of the birth of this child, the King Jesus, tells us God came in Christ Jesus from where he is in heaven in ultimate humility to serve us, to become like us as a human, yet without sin, in order to show us fully who God is, to fully understand our problem and what we go through, but then ultimately to live a perfect life in obedience to God, and then to be the one who dies in our place to save us, to forgive us, to deliver us and free us from our ultimate problem, from sin and death. Jesus came and has, 1 John tells us, 1 John 3, he came to destroy the work of the devil, setting free those who trust him from their fear of death, as Hebrews says, because every man, every human fears, until they come to Christ, they fear death because they are sinful and they know there's God's judgment. But he came to set those who look to him free from that. Because Jesus alone, remember, he is the only one who didn't deserve as a human death and judgment for sin. But Jesus alone is the one who did come as a human in our place, and he as God and man could take our place as the perfect sacrifice to forgive us and to set us free from our ultimate problem and the fear of death because of sin. Christmas, remember folks, is about God coming to identify with us fully, where we are, to become like us, that we might know his true life and joy and peace that's at the heart of who God is and why he came in humility and love the way he did to serve. He wants that joy to flood our hearts and our lives and our relationships like what the Philippians needed. We need. I need. You need. This is what Paul's aiming to show the Philippians in the middle of their disunity and their growing rivalry and seeking their own way and their own agenda and being offended and looking out for their own interest. You know, it's one thing for us to sing about peace on earth, and we do, and goodwill towards all men. But don't we know it is a different thing many times to live it out in marriage, in family, with Christian friendships? But Christmas says Jesus came into this world into the battle. When he was born in Bethlehem, he was born into the battle. But he came to defeat the ultimate enemy, and he has done that for those that look to him, and he's coming back again, and every knee will bow, every tongue confess, and Jesus comes in this world to save us, to show us who God is, and to change us, to give us his mind and heart. And that's why Paul said in verse 5, if you're a believer, have this mind in you, meaning if you're a Christian, you have that mindset. You and I have that in us, even in seed form. But the question is, are we cultivating that mindset in our family, in our relationships, in the church? Are we focusing more and more and resting and looking to the King who stooped down to serve us, to let him and the Spirit in us direct all we say and do more and more? Paul's saying, you have this mind in you, verse 5, that's in Christ. So when you battle with your selfishness, when you want your own way, when you're offended this Christmas by family members, perhaps, or neighbors, or that family member that thinks they know everything, or whatever it is, remember the mind that's in you, verse 5. Reflect on Jesus' humble service. Remember he came to give you his love and set you free from false self-happiness and self-focus and what the world says you need to do in all your way to get your way, and refocus on how he who is God did not fight for his rights though he could have held to them, but he laid them down to be born, to live a life of obedience and love to the point of death to save us. and rely on Him, to live in His love and respond with humility in daily struggles and opportunities. Paul wants us to know His coming is to impact us. He wants us to know this life that's in the King who stooped to serve us, who didn't come to be served, but to serve and give His life. He wants us to know that life. So we're going to look at just a few principles today as we close here. If you look here on in this passage, just at the very end of it there, where Paul is saying, God's working in you. If you're a Christian, as you work out your salvation, you'll shine like stars. As you know this life, you'll shine like stars in a dark world as we grow in this life. So how do we grow in this true life Jesus came to give us? This selflessness of our King. How does it change us? What does it mean to know this King now who was born, who lived and died and rose, who is the Lord? Number one, stay focused on the cross. If you look at verse 10, you know, when we've said in this series, many think this was a hymn, these verses about Christ, that the Christians sang. You could think of it today like an early Christmas carol, right? All about Jesus who came in love, who died and rose and ascended. But the point of the hymn is it refocuses us every time we sing it, every time they would sing it. When we read it, as we think about the practical context of it, it reminds us of who Christ is in His ultimate service and ascension to save us, and His resurrection and ascension, His victory. And we must keep going back to that, keeping in mind that Christmas tells us Christ was born to conquer our greatest problem, death and sin. And if you're in Him, and if you aren't, I'd ask you to trust Him today. But if you are in Him, He has. Colossians 1 reminds us the Son Jesus is the image of the invisible God. He reigns over all creation. In Him were all things created, meaning Jesus is God. And all was created for His glory, the Son of God, Jesus. But angels, we know, turned in sin. The devil and his angels, and those in the world, right, who were meant to be His servants. And now it says they're under the earth, but one day they're going to even they will recognize the King for who He is. But Christ, Colossians 1 tells us, He came through a way we wouldn't think of, through the cross, to reconcile all things to Himself. How? God was pleased to have all of His fullness dwell in Jesus, God and man together, and through Him, Him being born and coming to take the cross to reconcile all things to Himself. How? By making peace by His blood that was shed on the cross. But the point this morning I want you to think is that if you trust Jesus as Lord, the one who's ascended, who's overcome sin and death then has no power ultimately over you and me. Colossians 1 said, God has made you alive in Christ. He's forgiven your sin. He's having canceled the charge of your legal debt for sin to God. He's taken it away, having nailed it to the cross. Jesus wrote, paid in full, when He would go to the cross for you, if you trust Him and paid your debt. And now your guilt, whatever you're struggling with in the past, you feel you can't break free. If you look to Him, those accusations, that guilt and power is no longer having a hold on you. See, Jesus was born in humble love to do this, that through His perfect life, He would take the debt of our sin away, and He alone can do it as God and man, but He has. He's come to conquer sin and death, and He has the victory. So would you turn to Him today if you don't know Him? One day, even the devil will bow before Him, not to go to heaven. But will you turn to Him now in faith and love? Turn to Him and live for Him, knowing He has conquered death if you're a believer. Keep looking to Him, knowing your life is in Him, true peace is in Him, and the accusations of the enemy can't stand against you. Bow to Him. Listen to Him now. Number two, share the joy of God now. Verse 11, the resting in the joy. This second principle here, staying focused on the cross and Christ, we share in His joy. If we are believers, we do. Because throughout this passage, Paul, we've seen, wants them and us to know this life, this joy in the King who humbled Himself and selfless love to save us, that now is working in us as Christians, that Paul has that joy and that life. They have it, but they need to grow in it. And so do you and I. But it's only in this Savior. Paul has been saying, make my joy complete by getting along, by focusing on Jesus, who humbly was born, and relying on Him, resting in His salvation, looking out to the interest of others, not your own. But where does that life flow from? Someone said Jesus' passion is for God His Father. And there is nothing Jesus enjoys more than sharing that delight that He's had for all eternity. He was born at Christmas, Jesus, and went to the cross so we, if we trust in Him, can share in that delight. Share in that joy, that life that He and the Father and the Spirit have had for all eternity. The Trinity, God. Salvation begins and ends with the Father's love. God so loved the world, Jesus came. Jesus humbly came in love. But remember, Jesus was not trying to twist God the Father's arm to forgive us. No, it's all about God, isn't it? And even in this, what Paul says, it all ends with the glory going to God the Father, doesn't it? But what I want you to see this morning is that this is where life is found. This is what Paul wants them to see, I believe. The joy, the love that we share from God. The love that's in eternity. God the Father, someone said, longs for a people who will adore His Son Jesus. The Son longs for a people who will glorify God the Father. The Father gave His Son to create the church, a bride for Him, saved by His blood. And the Son humbled Himself, Jesus did, to death on the cross to create a children for God the Father for all eternity. Who know that life, that eternal joy. So, folks, Christmas is about refocusing and resting in that amazing joy, that selfless love, the humble love of the eternal Son of God given to us in Jesus. Someone said, Christmas is busy, yes, but are we making time to share in that joy of that love, that eternal love that God came to give us? That's why Jesus was born. That's why He came from glory, stooping into this world to save us, that we'll know that joy. Remember what Jesus said? He said, this is eternal life, John 17, to know God the Father and His Son. Jesus said He was born for this, John 10. He said, John 10:10, He said, I have come that you may have life and life abundant to the fullest. So, one day we know at the end of history, the climax of history, every tongue will acknowledge Jesus is Lord. Every eye will look upon His glory, the Son's glory, the Lord. But then the Son, what does Paul say here, is going to point to God the Father and say, all glory goes to Him. What love, eternal love, selfless love, true joy. Jesus came in this world, God sent His Son. His Son came. The Spirit is at work to make it real. That we'll know that love. That we'll grow in it. That if you don't know Him, you'll trust in this Savior. See, Paul closes this section, if you look here, saying, work out your salvation. He's talking about that life. You've got it in you. If you're a Christian, trust in Him. This mindset of the one who left heaven to save you. And as you grow in it, you'll hold to the word of life. You'll know life more and more, and you'll hold out life, and you'll shine like stars in a dark world of depression and destruction and death and fighting. Jesus is the light of the world. He's the light of all men, but as we grow in Him, we reflect His life. We become like stars. And that's where Paul goes with this. If you look at this third point here, reflect. So we stay focused. We share in eternal joy. But this purpose of Christmas working in our lives is that we'll shine like stars. We're meant to be stars. Not stars in a nativity play. But we're meant to shine. How does Christmas make a difference? How can you look at your life as a Christian and know that the humble coming of this Savior to be born is truly changing us? Are we shining? Not do you have a nice bright appearance, but maybe that fits in. But is your life shining? What's our attitude like? This is what Paul, where he goes to. Is there a gratitude flowing out of grace that you know the love of this Savior that makes you and I stand out as we stand up for Jesus, yes, but we stand out as we stand together in love in the right way? So as we grow in obedience, we'll grow in contentment. We'll have a joy. There'll be sacrifice, not selflessness. There'll be contentment, not complaint. And that's where we become brighter and brighter as stars, reflecting Christ's radiance. As His love grows in us, His life grows in us, we shine for God as we live in humility and harmony because the mind of Christ is changing us. We grow. Jesus came in this humble descent He did as He's now Lord. And God's working in us to carry out His purposes so we will think, as Paul said earlier, less of ourselves, more of others. But to be honest, where does Paul say? This can often be seen most in our attitude. In a thankful attitude that expresses that life. Look at what he says. Do all things, verse 14, without complaining, if you have your Bibles there, without disputing. Whatever you do is you live for the Lord. You say, hey, I'm living for the Lord. I'm trying to live the mind of Christ. I'm trying to think of others. But what's our attitude? Do it without complaining and disputing that you might become blameless, harmless children of God without fault in the midst of the crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. You're holding fast the word of life. You're growing in that life. You're holding out the word of life. And Christ is shining through you as you do nothing. Well, we struggle, don't we? But less and less without complaining and grumbling. See, gratitude, I believe, without grumbling will imply we're growing as Jesus did as a human. But as He works in us, we're growing to trust God and become more like Jesus. When we're grumbling, probably we're not trusting God. And we're not going to grow in obedience and maturity to be like Christ and to become more blameless like Christ. In the way that we live our lives. So this is where it gets real practical, doesn't it? Christmas. Right now. This is often how you will really see, and I have to look at this in my life too, the life of God, the light of the Savior who came in humility to save us, really being worked out in my life, in your life, in our day-to-day relationships and friendships and marriages. This is how the world, too, will quite often know we are different, how we will actually stand out against the dark backdrop of a world of selfishness and bitterness and bickering. Not only that we're not thinking of our own interests, like Paul said earlier, but that we're doing nothing with complaining. We're doing things without complaining. Meaning, what that means positively is we're wanting to do everything with thanksgiving to God more and more in the name of Jesus Christ. And then we will shine like stars in this dark world. We will grow to become more like Christ, who trusted the Father as a human and walked in obedience to Him. And we'll become more and more. We already are His children. We'll grow that, live that out in a dark world. And that's how we'll see the humble mindset of Jesus. What a great opportunity Christmas can be to do this, right? Because as I said, somebody's going to interrupt us today probably. Somebody's going to keep talking in our family, you know, or whatever. You know, or there's that family member, you know, that knows everything. We're going to feel offended. We're going to feel that. Or this week, right? Only Jesus can do this. As we close, this is this last thing. We've got to see the bigger picture. Because the world is constantly telling us, look out for one, number one. You can be number one. You can be the best. You can be the best at your job. You can be the best at this sport. You can be the highest of this. Everybody will look at you. Everybody will think that you are the greatest. And this is where life is. And I'm not saying it's wrong to succeed in things. But this tells us, at the end of the day, in all of history, there is only going to be one who shines as the ultimate star. That's Jesus. There's only one who's number one. As a human. But you know what? He's the one who laid down His rights in humility as a servant to share His joy with us. Our life is in Him. that's where we shine like stars. As we see the bigger picture, the more we see that and reflect on the one who came from heaven in humility to save us, and that God has exalted him and every knee will bow, and we see that one day we're going to be in eternity. That helps us to not grumble and complain. That helps us not to look for our own way, but to trust him a little bit more day by day, to serve, to give. He's working in us to make us more like Christ, to shine bright in the world. If you don't know this Savior today, I plead with you, as God works in you, that you might surrender your life to him. He's the King. He is the one true King, the one the Bible promised. He's the one who is the Savior. He is Lord. There is no one else like him. And he is life. He is salvation. Would you bend the knee of your heart before him today and confess him as Lord? Let's turn to the Lord today. Gracious Lord, we come before you. And Lord, we love all the things of family at Christmas, the food, the beach. All those things are good gifts from you, the Father who never changes. But Lord, may you not be in any way lost in the shuffle. For Christmas is about you, Jesus, the King. It's about trusting in you. It's about living for you as Lord. It's about bowing the knee before you the first time and continuing to surrender to you and know the joy that is eternal life. Lord, we give you all praise. We pray, Father, there'll be some today here and in other churches, Lord, that might for the first time do that, or Christians that rededicate their lives to you. And they'll know that life that is eternal life of the selfless Savior who came, who reigns, who's coming back. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.